comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. Our show today is about a topic that really is very near and dear to my heart, and anybody who knows me will attest to that. It's about young people and how we prepare them for a successful path in life. We're going to be talking about a skilled labor force and how it creates sustainable communities. But before I go on, I'd like to share that this show is in memory of Gary Gibson. I knew I would fill up. Someone who died way too soon. He was a mentor, a beloved community member, and our friend. And he wanted us to do a show about JTED for two reasons. One is because he was all about kids, helping them, mentoring them, showing up for them, and that's what JTED is all about. And secondly, as the owner of Rusted Southwest, a very successful HVAC company here in Tucson, Arizona, Gary knew that JTED is championed by employers who recognize the value that a skilled labor force brings to our community. They need skilled labor, so he was a champion. Thank you, Gary Gibson. A skilled labor force is essential to any community. So with me in studio is a guest whose passion is contagious. I talked to her on the phone and I'm like, stop talking. I want to catch this on air. She is truly a champion for our emerging workforce, and she knows everything we need to know about JTED. I'm quite sure of that. Please join me in welcoming Kathy Prather. She is Pima County JTED Deputy Superintendent. And Kathy, thanks so much for being here and for what you're doing.
Thank you for having me.
It's exciting. So the very best part to start is, I'm sure some of our listeners are saying, what the heck is JTED?
Well, thank you for asking. JTED, J-T-E-D, stands for Joint Technical Education District. And JTED is a system in Arizona of public school districts. Right now we have 14. And they are comprised of member districts. And our mission as JTEDs in Arizona is to deliver premier career and technical education programs. It's about collaboration. It's about our students having opportunities in high school to learn skills, but also to fully prepare for college and career readiness.
So what's the difference? Back in the day, and we talked a little bit about this, there was voc-ed or college prep. Those were the tracks. You either went one way or the other. And it seems to me, if I'm correct, that JTED is really a hybrid of that, because you take a career and technical approach to education. And what exactly does that mean? What is that approach?
Modern career and technical education is about the blending of academics and skills. Career and technical education is the delivery of academic skills. It's applied academics. It involves skill development. It involves technology. It involves our students being able to have work-based learning experiences, such as internships, school-based enterprises. But all of this is delivered in collaboration and partnership with community members. So it's the community coming together.
So it's to me, in the vernacular, there's no job that I can think of, whether it's a plumber or an electrician or where back in the day you would teach them, this is how you do plumbing. Well, now they have to have another skill set, which is called the technical side. I mean, our plumber comes and he's got some electronic device that he's measuring infrared. I don't even know what the heck. So it's really, it's that kind of thing that you're talking about, where it's not just about your technical skill, but you need to prepare for a career and learn all this other stuff too.
That's right. It's also including workplace employability skills. Those, sometimes they're called soft skills, but if you talk to local business owners, it's not, they're not soft skills. They are the most important skills of all. And those include the ability to work with others, to collaborate, to show up to work on time, to have that work ethic, to be proud of a product that you create or that you design. It's about creative thinking. It's about problem solving.
So why do you personally, and why does JTED, why are what you do, what you're doing is so important? I mean, it really is, not just for the students, but our, for our community.
We actually have a crisis forming right now. We have a shortage in the country of a skilled workforce. The average age in many of our skilled areas is 58. And so we have to address this. Currently in the infotech field, we are hearing from infotech companies that by the year 2020, there is a projected shortage of 1 million workers in that area of infotech. So community members are coming together. National groups are being formed. An example is the TEALS K-12 movement that formed out of Microsoft. And what they're doing, these volunteers go into schools and help start computer science programs. They go in and they mentor. Here in Southern Arizona, we have engineers from Raytheon and IBM going into classrooms and mentoring to help these computer science students and teachers.
That's where it's going to be at. Let's face it. I mean, anything that can be replaced by a robot will be, including making French fries at McDonald's, which is not a bad job to eliminate, if you ask me. It's not a great career path for anybody. But getting kids the skills ready to rewire their brains in some cases, or if they started young, their brains are already rewired and don't think like mine anyway. So what kind of kids are you serving? Is there a type? Is there a stereotype? Or is it really a broad spectrum, which is what it seems to me that there's... This is not a one-size-fits-all. You've had a lot, you have a lot of programs for a lot of different kids.
Career and technical education is for all students. Currently, there are 71 different types of programs offered across the country. These include biotechnology, computer engineering, agriscience. Agriscience is huge. We need our students to be able to understand where their food comes from. We have programs in automotive technology. We have programs in construction technology. But what we are seeing, the data is showing us that with these programs, students who are going on to college, who have completed these programs, complete college at a higher rate. We see that these programs also reduce the dropout rate. So these programs are for students who want basic skills, who want to go on to a career after high school, but also these programs are especially important for students who do plan to go to college because many of them can gain skills, can go to work, and go to college at the same time, be able to have their employers pay for their college, and maybe be able to graduate without such high debt and owing for their college education.
So it's just so needed. And when you mention some of those companies, it's great to not have to recruit outside of our community and to give jobs to our community kids who are already trained. I mean, every group I'm in, organization says we have to have jobs that keep our kids here.
That's right. We really do want our students to stay here. And so we need to make sure that we're offering engaging programs, premier career and technical education programs that involve the community, that are hands-on, that are the application of these skills.
Yes. So when you and I had a conversation several days ago, you shared with me some interesting and I think important insights about the workforce of today and tomorrow. It's like at the speed of sound. It's not business as usual at any level, as I said. What do you try to communicate to your students about how they have to prepare and maybe even change their mindset about the skills they're going to need? And what they need today might not be what they need in 3 years. I mean, it's changing that fast. So how do you get into their mindset and say, hey, folks, if you think you're finished and you're graduating, don't think that.
Great question. Our youth today are digital natives.
What in God's name is a digital native? I'm learning new terms all the time. I feel so modern.
our young people are growing up with this technology. A smartphone is a part of what they do. It's
at age one.
Yes, yes. And so they look at the world differently. I myself am considered a digital immigrant when I grew up.
Oh my gosh, technology. I love it. Hashtag digital immigrant. I know what I am now.
And so we have to teach in a different way. And that's also a big part of career and technical education, is we have to recognize that our students learn differently. We have to utilize the best of project-based learning. We have to be able to encourage our students to problem solve. And when we develop curriculum, we have to look at, it becomes a question of not about a specific assignment, but we want to encourage our young people to say, what problem do I want to solve in this world? And what skills do I need to get there? And that's how we motivate our youth.
Wouldn't it be great if all schools were like that instead of memorizing? It's like, you know, I can be down on that old way. It's not going to work anymore.
We have to be right there engaging them through this type of education, because the technology will take them away. They'll be more interested in that. So we want to make sure that we are engaging them with hands-on problem solving, real world projects.
So tell me what you mean by project-based learning.
Project-based learning is a way to deliver education. So students can learn the skills, but then we have to provide them with the opportunity to apply those skills, to be able to look at a problem, something that's important to them, and to take it from identifying that problem, how it might be solved, to developing options to solve that problem. But then a big part of project-based learning is giving the students the ability to publish that information.
Got it.
Digitally, in a public way, to share that information. Because our youth, a part of that digital native, is about sharing in the global place.
And there's a lot about, there's so much available on the internet and open space and open sourcing and all of that, just being able to keep up with all of that. You know, I interviewed a doctor yesterday on the show, and we were talking about how you have to be careful about Google because you have to put in the words right to search it. But just what information is available to us today is beyond, I think, our mind's comprehension just by touching a computer and staying up with all of that. It's unbelievable. So there's a lot of people that say there's a job shortage. And we address this a little bit, but maybe you can go down into the weeds a little bit more. There isn't a job shortage. When you talked about that 1 million figure, what do we really need to remind ourselves about if we have kids and grandkids? There isn't a job shortage, correct?
That is correct. It's not about a job shortage. It's about a shortage of people with the skills to fill those jobs. So in the case that I mentioned earlier regarding Infotech, we have the openings, but we have a shortage of people with those technical skills to be able to fill those openings.
So everything you talked about in terms of your approach and the choices and the excitement, does getting kids engaged impact their desire to go on and continue their education? Do you see that? Maybe go to college or really commit to lifelong learning? You talked a lot about that when we had our conversation about this is the mindset now, lifelong learning, because nothing is staying the same. Pretty much nothing.
That's right. It's no longer good enough to say that some students can graduate from high school and be able to have a living wage. 65% of jobs these days require some type of post-secondary. So we have to get students to be able to be college or post-secondary and career ready. So it's critical that our youth have that desire for lifelong learning, the desire to increase their skill level, because it is highly likely that the careers that we're preparing our students for these days, they won't exist in 10 years.
Maybe even five.
Yes.
That's
yes.
How fast. It's yes. Like, what? Oh, that I learned that 4 years ago, but they're not doing it that way anymore. So that's what you're saying to all of us. I'm a lifelong learner, and the things that I've had to learn at my age in order to do what I do and accomplish my mission, I have to continue to learn and improve my skill sets so that the message gets out in ways that people are going to find out about us.
That's right. And so it's important in career and technical education that we develop that sense of engagement and lifelong learning. It also speaks to our companies these days, and they need to address the needs of our young people being able to be lifelong learners and encourage that as well.
Yeah, so it's not a 30-year job and here's your gold watch. It's a 3-year job and what are you going to be doing next? It's like I'm so glad that I'm not 20. So I think it's safe to say that all of us would agree we live in a global economy. And if you don't think that, you should do some self-evaluation, in my opinion, because we live in a global economy. So how is JTED participating in that economy, and why is it so important? Can you give us some examples?
Absolutely. JTED is an Arizona form of career and technical education. But across the country as well, we have technical learning centers, we have regional training centers, and we are partnering with business and industry across the country to make sure that our students have the latest technology, the latest equipment, so that we can compete in the global marketplace. We also have to impart to our students the ability to look at problem solving globally and encourage them to develop skills such as collaboration. A recent example is my understanding a Boeing airplane that was developed and designed was developed by a number of different engineers operating out of 4 or 5 different countries, never having met in person, but collaborating, utilizing technology in the design process. And so I think that is the future, that our students have to be able to collaborate and to understand their place in the global market.
So I think you mentioned to me that you're doing a really cool program with the National Forest Foundation. Can you tell us what is that all about?
That it is quite exciting. Through a local project, which is funded by a National Youth Career Connects federal grant, our students in the bioscience program at Sunnyside High School in South Tucson, those students will be able to intern with the National Forest Foundation and engage in conservation projects and research and be paid for that research. It's very exciting.
How is that? So are they going to be based here? Are they going to be able to travel? Or what's the project? Tell us a little more about that.
They'll be working locally here with the Foundation on local projects in our national forest.
How awesome. And I think you mentioned another one to me, too, about, the machine parts. That was part of one that you just mentioned, working globally. But there's another one that you mentioned, too.
Yes. We have students, as a fundraising project, are involved in machining parts for a local manufacturer. And these parts are ending up on airplanes that are flying in the sky today.
How
with the
awesome
national
is
manufacturer.
That? I mean, seriously.
And it's a middle part of the process. And after the students produced the projects, they go on and they are tested by professional testers who test the parts certified by the FAA. But our students are involved in the middle of that project and machining those parts. Another exciting project is the Steps to STEM project that we have biotechnology students who are going to be completing internships at the University of Arizona in the College of Pharmacy this summer, doing some research projects.
I mean, that's huge. That's really huge. It's really so many things. I love the depth and breadth of the choices. I mean, it's just so different than voc ed.
Yes, this is not our grandfather's.
Not that there's anything wrong with voc ed.
Yes.
I mean, nothing. I'm not saying that because I need a cabinet maker. You know what I mean? Those things, people that love to create and work with their hands. I don't want to have any hint of a disparaging remark, but even that requires different kinds of skills than it did 20 years ago.
Oh, it does. This is not our grandfather's voc ed. This is about modern technology, career and technical education. And in fact, February is National CTE Month. The theme is Celebrate Today, Own Tomorrow. And that's what it is about, is our youth being able to own their future.
So it gives me goosebumps. It's really, and that's the whole month. And is it JTEDs around the country, or is it an Arizona celebration?
It is a national celebration set up by the Association for Career and Technical Education. And if you'd like more information, you can visit acteonline.org to learn more about it. But it is a national movement.
I love it. What about employers? Can you go into a little bit of detail about what are they looking for? What are they asking you to do to prepare for the student of tomorrow? I'm sure you work closely with employers. That seems to me obvious. What do they need?
Our employers locally are saying, help. We have a crisis, a workforce crisis. We need you to help us develop a skilled workforce. And it's critical because it's about our local economy. Workforce development is economic development 101. So without that workforce, we cannot move forward as a community with economic development. So what they're asking us to do is to make sure that our students have relevant skills. And how we judge those skills, how we determine those skills, is we need to speak the same language as our employers. And we do that by offering nationally recognized certifications that are developed by industry. So industry shares with us those national certifications that they recognize so that we speak the same language, so that when we send a youth to them for employment, that youth will have a certificate that industry recognizes.
Amazing, amazing. So what about, I start thinking about, how do you get the kids? I mean, there's kids that drop out, there's kids that the traditional educational model that's still in place in a lot of our schools, let's be honest, doesn't work for them. It just doesn't work for them. And it's sad to me because not every kid learns the same way. No two kids learn the same way. So how do you get the kids? How do they hear about you? How do you get them in and keep them in?
Well, we do strive to have career exploration activities in the middle school levels to try to get the students out to see what's happening in local businesses and industry, to bring guest speakers into the classroom so that they have that exploration component. Another key area, and this is where we really need help with, is parents. Parents need to understand about this type of education. Some tell us that this is the best kept secret still, career and technical education. They're not aware of it. So we have to spread the word that these opportunities are available and they can be life changing. We have stories from students and parents that tell us that these programs, gave their youth the ability to go out and see what they were capable of, to be able to formulate what career area they might be interested in. And just as important, some of these experiences inform our students that this might not be a career field that they want to go into. And that can save time and money when they go on to college to determine maybe what they don't want to do as well.
I don't like that, and that's not what I want to do. How great is that? I mean, seriously. And to me, I think a part of it would be, and I don't want to assume, experiencing success for kids that are not going in this one track that's more traditional. I would think that because of the myriad of options you have, you can put kids in areas where they will experience success, which makes them want to experience more success and keep at it.
That's absolutely correct. And one of the things about career and technical education is we offer dual college credit in many of our programs. And so we often see students who did not even think that they were university or college material. They get into these programs, they get excited, they're passionate about what they're doing, and they get college credit, they get a few credits under their belt, and they realize, wow, I really could go to college. I could do this. I know this. They get that confidence. And here in Pima County in Southern Arizona, the students are getting these college credits at no charge.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just inspirational on steroids. I'm interested how your district, But how do you, you don't have, or do you have, you don't have buildings, you partner with others, with school districts, or how do the programs get implemented? Is that a clear question?
Where are you doing
these great things?
And I'm going to say yes and yes.
Okay, good.
So we have both. In the Pima JTED, we offer both central campus programs and satellite programs. The central campus programs that we offer are located at several sites in southern Arizona. Those are owned and operated by the Pima JTED. So they are separate buildings. But then we also financially support programs at satellite locations, which are located at our 14-member school districts in southern Arizona.
So there's a lot of partnering going on, partnering with the business community, partnering with the education community, the school districts, and that, again, is to me, exemplary of a successful model.
Absolutely, and also partnering with our post-secondary partners in southern Arizona, that's Pima Community College, as well as the University of Arizona. Many people don't know that a couple of our programs offer university credit through the University of Arizona in the biotechnology area and in engineering.
And it's free to get these credits. That's something else.
Well,
The
U of A credits, there is a small tuition for those credits. The Pima College credits are free. The U of A, we do have the students pay a small tuition, but we do have tuition waivers through our foundation, the JTED Fund Foundation.
So, which brings me to another question. How is JTED funded?
JTED is funded through two funding sources. One is a property tax. It is 5 cents on the $100 of assessed secondary valuation property tax. So those funds flow into the JTED. Additionally, we have something called ADM, Average Daily Membership Funding.
Oh, so you do get ADM.
Okay. Coming from the state, and satellite program students are funded at 0.25 of that ADM. And central students are funded at up to 0.75. But it's a win-win because local school districts do not lose their individual ADM for their full-time students when they're teaching them academically. The funding for JTED is above and beyond the base ADM for the district.
So it's not win-win. Taking away. Yes.
It's win-win, and we deliver education tuition free to our students, and we serve public school students, the traditional public schools, as well as charter school students. We also serve homeschooled students, and we serve homeless students as well. Any youth in our delivery area comes to us tuition free.
So no wonder you're so passionate and excited. And, you know, when I was talking on the phone, I'm like, I can't wait for this show, and we could go on and on. Do you have any final words of, like, what comes to mind is you are so passionate and you are so committed, and it shows in your face and in your body language and in your voice. What floats your boat? Why is this so affirming to you individually? A personal question.
It's fulfilling because I know that these opportunities can be life-changing. I have seen it. I have heard it. I hear daily from parents and students. Also, the fact that what we're doing is helping our community, helping the health of our economy is so rewarding.
And you have a lifelong career in doing things like this. You've been all over the state of Arizona, so you are preparing for this big mission.
I have. I have taught in the far reaches of northeastern Arizona on the Navajo Reservation. I've taught in western Arizona near, Mojave High School in Bullhead City, and Tucson, and in the Sunnyside Unified School District. And it is rewarding, and this is my second career. And I cannot think of a better career.
I know, and it shows. It really shows. What's the one last question before we tell people where to get in touch with you and everything is, what do you have the most successful way that you've been able to recruit? Is it through partnerships with the school districts or word of mouth? Or how are people hearing about it? I want everybody to know that this is an option.
The best way for us to get our students engaged is really to reach the parents and the counselors and get the students into our programs for tours. Once they see it, they're sold.
they're sold. And that, I'm sure, takes a lot of creative ways to engage, especially with cultural differences and parents that are afraid to show up and all of those things that I know about. So to find out more about Russet Southwest and Gary and their wonderful company, you can, and the services they provide, including to make sure you're breathing clean air, you can go to russetsouthwest.com. And to learn more about JTED and the myriad of programs they offer, visit them at pimajted.org. You guys, thank you so much for
thank
doing
you.
This. And I said you guys because we have an in-studio guest who is listening, so you know what that means. But thanks for all you do.
Thank you so much.